I'm a grateful recovered alcoholic. Yeah, I've been last drinking from 1987. And I just want to say one more time what a great honor it's been to go through this process with the 12 steps. It kind of went by fast, and yet it didn't. So, I don't know if that makes sense to anybody, but I really appreciate your patience with me, and it's been a great experience for me to revisit the steps in depth and to hear your sharings as well. I do have to say, you know, we just got our little puppy on Sunday, and she's very little, very young, and I think I have puppy brain today. I'm just out of it a little bit. So anyway, I'm gonna try to keep it short, because, you know, it's, I don't want to go on too long. But anyway, step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. That's the ultimate promise right there, ladies and gentlemen. You do the 12, the preceding 11 steps, you'll have a spiritual awakening. That's what I had to learn for myself, because I did not get the burning bush or have the burning bush experience like Bill Wilson did. And, you know, they talk in the book about the educational variety of spiritual experiences. I guess that's probably what mine is. It happened over time. It happened over the years of me working, reworking the mistakes, or the steps, making mistakes, getting crushed, going back, you know, over and over again, finally, just being sick and tired of, you know, having to make amends, having of the screw-ups and everything else, and realizing that I need to have my sanity restored by a higher power, which is God. And I do want to read, I want to read something from our book. It's in the personal stories. It's Alcoholics number 3, and in my book it's page 191. This is, like I said, Alcoholics number 3, and he writes this. It would be hard to estimate how much AA has done for me. I really wanted the program, and I wanted to go along with it. I noticed that the others seemed to have such a release, a happiness, a something I thought a person ought to have. I was trying to find the answer. I knew there was even more, something that I hadn't got. And I remember one day, a week or two after I had come out of the hospital, Bill was over to my house talking to my wife and me. We were eating lunch, and I was listening and trying to find out why they had this release that they seemed to have. Bill looked across at my wife and said to her, "Henrietta, the Lord has been so wonderful to me, curing me of this terrible disease, that I just want to keep talking about it and telling people." I thought, I think I have the answer. Bill was very, very grateful that he had been released from this terrible thing, and he had given God the credit for having done it. And he's so grateful about it, he wants to tell other people about it. That sentence, "The Lord has been so wonderful to me, curing me of this terrible disease, that I just want to keep telling people about it," has been sort of a golden text for the AA program and for me. And so it is with just about every alcoholic I've encountered in the program. So it has been my experience as well, that, you know, being released from the bondage of alcohol, you know, just wanting to go and help as many people as possible. I know, I believe it's true that people who are in the program have a particular type of zeal for spreading the word, but, you know, the truth is I still have just such an overwhelming amount of gratitude to the people in AA, but especially to God. I don't know why he saved me. I don't know why I was rescued from the scrap heap. But I have been, and that is behind me now with the alcohol, and now with the years going by, I've gotten better in other areas of my life where I can, you know, I can be. I'm a sober participant of society. Our big book in chapter 7 is a whole entire chapter entitled Working with Others. And there's so many really great tips in here about how to work with others, what to do, what to say, what not to say. Of course, a lot of this has been relinquished to the treatment centers. But I like this one paragraph on page 98 that says, burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of everyone. The only condition is that he trusts in God and clean house. And, you know, what I understand is that's really kind of like the influence of Dr. Bob. That was his saying, trust God, help others, clean house. And that used to be, I know for me, when I first came into AA, something that was said commonly. I don't really hear it that much, but it, you know, brings it down to the essence of AA. We're all about carrying the message to others and expanding our spiritual life and our belief in God. I also like this here on page 102 in Working with Others. Your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. So never hesitate to go anywhere. I know, it's funny. I get crazy. But anyway, so never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. You should not hesitate to visit the most sordid spot on earth on such an errand. Keep on the firing line of life with these motives, and God will keep you unharmed. And, you know, the thing of it is, too, obviously, you know, especially in the beginning of AA, the people who came to the program, they were really serious. They had to surrender their lives to God before they could attend an AA meeting. And there were no people that were on the fence about any of this in the beginning. Now, in AA, and I think this is what is meant when I hear people talk about the program being watered down, there's a lot of people who come to AA that really aren't so serious about the program or so serious about sobriety. And they are not willing to go to any length to stay sober. And so, I mean, it's the kind of thing where, you know, that's just the question I ask a person. If they ask me to be their sponsor, are you willing to go to any length to stay sober? Because if you're not, don't waste my time. You know, it's heartbreaking enough when somebody, you work with someone and then they go out and relapse. And we don't, you know, there are no dues or fees and there's no access to grind with anyone. But, Dan, what was that thing? Oh, the 12 steps of AA program are suggested much in the same way that it suggested you pull the ripcord on your parachute when you jump out of a plane. You know, it's that kind of thing. That was in the meditation the other day. It says, someday we hope that Alcoholics Anonymous will help the public to a better realization of the gravity of the alcoholic problem. But we shall be of little use if our attitude is one of bitterness or hostility. Drinkers will not stand for it. After all, our problems were of our own making. Bottles were only a symbol. Besides, we have stopped fighting anybody or anything. We have to. And those are words for me to live by, because one of my biggest ongoing struggles is sometimes with anger, and it's futile. It's just absolutely futile. I want to go to page 164 in the big book. It says here, a book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Or the bottom line, as I'd like to say. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit yourself, your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of the past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Deborah. So now at this point, we are going to open things up for our question and answer portion. So if you have a question here in the room, go ahead and raise your hand. We'll get you the microphone. Anybody on Zoom, if you have a question, just go ahead and unmute yourself and state your question at your leisure. So who wants to start us off? All right, we've got Kevin here in the room.
Oh, Kevin.
Hi, Deborah. How are you? Thank you for doing this. I really appreciate it. We forgot to acknowledge, we have a new person in the room that has, would you have Joe? 6 days?
Yes.
Congratulations.
So we have somebody here who's live that has 6 days of sobriety.
Yeah.
What advice and suggestions do you have for Joe? He's been around a few times, so what would you say to Joe?
Well, I would just say the same thing. Are you ready to do whatever it takes to get and stay sober? You know, are you serious about this program? Do you think you've reached your bottom? I mean, those are all questions that only Joe can answer. And I hope for your sake you have, because I think it would be painful to be in and out of AA and have periods of sobriety mingled with periods of drinking, knowing about sobriety. And the easier, softer way for me has been to surrender and do the things that the people, the sponsors, the other members of AA tell me to do, take the steps, and just surrender. And because I'll tell you what, Joe, my life has taken some crazy turns in sobriety as well as while I was drinking. But the life I have now, I would never have even dreamt it, nor would I have asked for it. It's been a gift that has been given me by God. And the only thing I can say is if you stick around, you can have that same experience.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we've got another hand here in the room.
Hi, Deborah. I'm Tony. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi.
I just want to tell you, I really, really appreciate what you had to say today. This actually really hits home with me because I just started working with my first sponsee. And one of the things that I'm finding very challenging is getting him to really open up to me. You know, he made a kind of a comment to me the other day that he looked at our relationship kind of like what it was like with his 17-year-old son, that he just kind of, you know, catches up with him. And a lot of what you said about how serious this stuff is, and I had to kind of break it down to him, kind of like my sponsor broke it down to me. We're not buddies. You know, this is a life and death operation here. And if you don't want this, you know, I'm like, I can't call you and try to yank this stuff out of you. It's something that you're going to have to kind of come out with if you want to get better. You know, but I'm not going to sit here and spin my tires with you. So my question to you is, what are some things that maybe some sponsees in your experience, what have you done with, you know, he's very passive. I happen to be a little more aggressive. So, like, his personality is a lot different than mine. And I've kind of spoke with my sponsor about this a little bit. I happen to be sitting next to me. He's a terrible-looking fellow on my left. You're right. But we've spoken about this. And not that I don't want to take his word for it, but I'd like to hear what you would have to say about more somebody that has a different personality and how to get some of those traits or some of those negative, you know, some of his defects of character, more or less, to kind of out there to talk about.
I work with a person now who, you know, it's been interesting the way our relationship has blossomed, because she was also very reluctant. I remember the first time she asked me to be her sponsor, she asked me if it was okay to text, and I said, "What? No, it's not okay to text, because how am I ever going to get to know you that way? I mean, we do text, but that is not our primary method of communication." And you know what? It's taken time. Our relationship has really grown a lot, and it's been through the process of working the 12 steps and talking, having give and take and sharing. I mean, the way it's worked with us is that things in life come up, and for me, working with someone, it's a matter of trust, and I want the person to know that I am trustworthy. I am their confidant. The things they tell me or that we discuss don't go any farther than me, and I try to just share my own experience, strength, and hope. And it's that kind of give and take that builds the relationship up over time. And, you know, that's just what it takes, is time working together and building up trust and sharing. That's what I believe.
Thank you.
Who's got a question next? How about on Zoom? Anybody on Zoom?
Hi, everyone. I'm Helen. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Helen.
Thank you so much for your hard work. I know the kind of work that goes into this, and I really appreciate hearing you. But I had something that just occurred today. Since this pandemic started, I have been privileged to begin sponsoring three new women, young women, and very gung-ho, very, yo, let's do this kind of thing, and calling every day and staying in touch. Well, the past couple days, I haven't heard from a couple of them. So you mentioned texting. I texted them just a little line, hope everything's going well. Well, I heard back from two of them that I'm pretty depressed right now, and I don't feel like talking to anyone, and I don't want to go to any meetings. And I texted back, because they had texted me. I said, I find that when I'm feeling that way, I need to talk to other members of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I need to attend a lot of meetings. And I left it at that. what else might you say to a newcomer who just fell off the pink cloud, I think?
So. Yeah, there's nothing you can say. I mean, you can't force an alcoholic to do anything. And they're going to do what they want to do anyway. I like this paragraph in Chapter 11, A Vision for You. It says, now and then, a serious drinker, being dry at the moment, says, I don't miss it at all. Feel better, work better, having a better time. As ex-problem drinkers, we smile at such a Sally. We know our friend is like a boy whistling in the dark to keep up his spirits. He fools himself. Inwardly, he would give anything to take half a dozen drinks and get away with them. He will presently try the old game again, for he isn't happy about his sobriety. He cannot picture life without alcohol. Someday he or she will be unable to imagine life either with alcohol or without it. Then he will know loneliness such as few do. He will be at the jumping off place. He will wish for the end. I mean, there's only so much you can do. You lead a horse to water, it's up to them to drink. And, you know, and that's part of, you know, us having reaped the rewards of staying sober and living a sober life, you know, wanting to, you know, gift it to other people, but they have to want it as much or more than we do.
Thank you.
Who else has a question for Deborah?
Okay. I do. Is someone in the room speaking? This is Leslie on Zoom.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi. I was wondering about kind of the other part of the 12th step about practicing these principles in all our affairs.
Yeah.
Completed these steps. And I was wondering what you think was... kind of where does that show the most for you in your life? You know, where... Sometimes we don't see our progress, but sometimes we do. So I'm wondering, where do you see that, you know, practice showing up the most in your life and the benefits of it?
Well, you know what? Here's, you know, I might just talk about my mother a little bit because we have always had a very difficult relationship. She was not the alcoholic. She was not the drinker in the family. That was my dad, but she was a very sick person. And anyway, you know, it's still very much a struggle. I spent the day with her yesterday. Last night, when I finally got home, I was ready to go to bed. My mind was just racing. I was looking forward to shutting down. And, you know, the thing of it is that, you know, sometimes, you know, in this case, I guess the thing is I'm trying to say is that my mother has told me that she wishes she could have the level of peace that I sometimes seem to have. And sometimes I do. I have a lot more of it than I used to. And I don't react quite as much. And sometimes, like even yesterday, was a hard day. But for me, I did not blow up at her. I did not say anything hurtful. And so that's a really huge challenged relationship in my life with her. I'm grateful that I have her in my life. I really am. And I just keep praying for her and praying that, you know, God will bless her in the same way he's blessed me. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Deborah.
Who else has a question? We're going to get Ryan here in the room.
Oh, hi, Ryan.
Hello, Debra.
Hello, Debra. How are you doing? Ryan, alcoholic.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, thanks for, you know, going through all these steps with us. Just one kind of general question. You've probably never done a meeting like this before, or kind of instructed a group like this so many weeks in a row. Is there anything, one thing in particular you learned about yourself from doing this process that you didn't already know? You know, with
I have a job interview right now.
Yeah. You know, if you have 30 years, over 30 years of sobriety, but I don't know if you've discovered anything new. Thanks.
What have I learned about myself? I guess, Ryan, seriously, the thing is that, for me, the thing I can see is how much I have changed. I am not the same person who walked into AA 32 years ago. I had to give up a lot of old ideas, ways of thinking, ways of being, and I didn't always do it very gracefully. And so here I am. I mean, I never imagined I'd be 32 years sober or talking to a group of people about my experience in AA. But that is the gift I received from God. And I am so, so grateful because I can't even imagine the kind of life I would have or probably not have without AA and God guiding me. So it's a wonderful... It's not an easy journey by any means. It is not easy. My old sponsor in Pittsburgh used to say, something about not being a sissy. You're not doing the steps, or being an alcoholic is not being a sissy, or something like that. And that's the truth. It's hard work. And it's tireless and fearless and everything else, this whole process. And once you put the drink down, there's a whole other bunch of opportunities that come your way for growth. So that's all. Thanks.
Who's next with a question for Debra? Anyone? What about on Zoom? Anyone on Zoom? No? Debra, thank you so much. Not just for tonight, but thank you for everything over the last couple months.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, everybody.